Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And we are studying now in the book of Joshua. And our study today will be on Lesson 4. And we'll be studying chapters 9 through 12. So let us start our study today, as we always do, in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for who you are. Almighty God, the great I am. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. I thank you for those that you inspired through the Holy Spirit to write it down. And I just pray, as we come to you today to study, that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us and teach us your word, that we may know you, Father, that we may know you more, and that we may be obedient to your word. Father, give us the wisdom and the knowledge to understand your truths, and help us to live it out in our lives each day to glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In starting our lesson today, we're looking at chapters 9 through 12. But let's kind of take a step back and look at the first 8 chapters so we can get a picture of what has already taken place in the book of Joshua. And the way that we'll do that is look at the themes of each chapter that will give us that picture. Chapter 1 of Joshua, theme, it was be strong and courageous. In chapter 2, Joshua sent spies to Jericho. And there, these spies had their encounter with Rahab. Chapter 3, we see that Israel crossed the Jordan onto dry land. In chapter 4, we learned that the people of Israel were instructed to set up a memorial. And they set that up with 12 stones at Gilgal. In chapter 5, the theme was circumcision and Passover at Gilgal. And also Joshua had an encounter with the captain or the commander of Lord's army. In chapter 6, we learn that Joshua and Israel destroyed Jericho but spared Rahab. And then chapter 8, we learn that Israel was defeated by Ai. And Achan took things under the ban. And then chapter 8, we learn that Joshua and Israel destroyed Ai. Now, what we want to learn and what we want to see in all of these verses that were written down and inspired by the Holy Spirit was what God was doing, to see God's power, to see God fulfilling his promises. So as we continue our study, let's keep our minds centered on the fact that this is God's story. This is a true story written by the very finger of God. And it's been inspired to be written down by all of these great prophets that wrote the word, wrote these precepts by the hand of God. Now, look at chapter 6 through 8, just briefly. What do we see that those chapters have in common? And we see that what they have in common is the battles of taking the land. We know that Joshua had already been instructed by Moses through the word of the Lord that the Lord was going to give the people of Israel the land, and he had already pointed out to them what land that he was going to give them. So then we see that Joshua and Israel's preparation to take the land in the verses 1 through 5, and how that they crossed over the Jordan. And we know that it was only through the power of God, it was through his hand, that they were able to do this. So 1 through 5, chapters 1 through 5, was the preparation to take the land and crossing the Jordan. And then chapter 6 through 12 was about conquering that land. Now let's look at today's lesson, starting with Joshua chapter 9. So what did you find by marking your or highlighting your key words in chapter 9 that was the theme of that chapter? If you did mark everything, you saw that the highlight or the theme of that chapter was the covenant made with Gibeon. So, looking at your map, you'll get a visual looking at this map showing the occupying of the land. So if you'll just take your maps out as we go through, then you'll be able to have a picture of where they are as all of this takes place. Verses 1 and 2, let's read those now so that we'll get an idea of what's happening. Starting with verse 1, now it came about when all the kings who were beyond the Jordan in the hill country, the lowland, and on the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, that they met together with one purpose to fight with Joshua and Israel. So here we see that the kings of the land that they're going in to take, they heard about what Israel had done to Jericho and Ai, so they gathered themselves together to fight. Now let's look at verses 3 through 15 in this chapter 9. The inhabitants of Gibeon also heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, but they, on their part, acted craftily and went and took provisions for a journey and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins that were worn out, split open and patched and worn out, and patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. And they went to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now then, make a covenant with us." But the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you are living within our land. How then are we to make a covenant with you?" So they said to Joshua, "We are your servants." And then Joshua said to them, "Who are you, and where do you come from?" And they said to him, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard the report about him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was in Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions in your hand for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are the servants, now then make a covenant with us. This bread of ours was hot when we took it for our provisions from our houses on the day that we left to come to you, but now behold, it is dry and become crumbled. And these wineskins which we feel were new, and behold, they are split open, and these clothes of ours and the sandals are worn from the very long journey. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Now keep that particular verse in mind and make a note or an asterisk by verse 14. So let's read it again. So the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the leaders of the congregation swore an oath to them. So, what do we see now is taking place when these Gibeons, when the inhabitants of Gibeon, it was different from the others. Instead of going to war with them, they acted craftily. They were cunning, and they deceived the leaders of Israel. So they went in to Joshua at Gilgal, and they pretended to be from a distant country, far away. But they were some of the ones close by who Israel was to destroy. So the Gibeonites asked for a covenant with Israel. Now, a covenant, we know in studying in previous studies, it's a solemn binding agreement between two parties. So they were asking Israel to make a covenant, a binding agreement. So going back to verse 14, we see that Israel went forward into making this covenant, but they did not ask the Lord for his counsel. So they made peace with the people living in their land because they had been deceived. And so deception led them into a violation of what the Lord had said. So let's go forward now and see what's going to happen because they did not go to the Lord and get his counsel. Let's go forward and read verses 16 through 21. However, it came about at the end of 3 days after they'd made a covenant with him that they heard that they were neighbors and that they were living within their land. And then the sons of Israel set out and came to their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the sons of Israel did not attack them because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole congregation grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders said to the whole congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we cannot touch them. This we will do to them, even let them live, so that wrath will not be on us because of the oath which we swore to them. So the leaders said to them, let them live. And they became gatherers of firewood and labor to draw water to the whole congregation, just as the leaders had spoken to them. Now, we want to look and see what has happened, because Israel has made a covenant, they made a vow with these people that had deceived them. So let's briefly go over this and see what these verses are saying. 3 days after making the covenant, Israel heard that the Gibeonites were living in their land. After 3 days of making that covenant, they found out that they were not foreigners and that they had deceived them. So Israel went to the 4 cities that are named here, Gibeon, Cherah, Bereth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And they couldn't attack them because of the covenant that they'd made. So here we see that Israel's congregation grumbled against the leaders. Now the leaders were like the priests and the ones that were given authority by Joshua, his captains and all the men that were in charge. And so Israel grumbled against them and blamed them. And the Gibeonites became Israel's wood hewers, cutters, and water drawers, and they became slaves, is actually what happened to the people. They couldn't destroy them, so they made them slaves. Now, there's some cross-reference that we see in our study that goes with these verses that we are just read, these first 19 verses, or the first 23 verses in chapter 9. And these cross-reference, if you want to write them down, if you don't have a workbook, I'll just quickly read them and briefly state what they're saying. The first cross-reference is Exodus 23, verses 20 through 33. So in these verses, the Lord told Israel not to make a covenant with the inhabitants of Canaan. So here we see that the Lord had already told them not to make covenants with any of the inhabitants. And if they did, it would lead to sin because they would be prone to serve other gods. So they knew the boundaries of the land and they knew the territory of their enemies. And they also knew that if any nations lived within that land, they were to destroy them. That's what these verses in Exodus 23 tells us. Now, another cross-reference is 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. And what these verses are saying is about David's reign. And in the time of his reign, there was a famine in the land for 3 years. So when David asked the Lord about it, he said it was because Saul, the king before David, had killed the Gibeonites. And so Saul broke the covenant of Joshua 9. So the Lord's wrath was on Israel in the form of a famine for 3 years. So we see God's hand upon the people when they are disobedient to following his commandments. Now, quickly looking at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 15 through 17, and verse 23, and verse 42. In these verses, we see the words covenant, vow, agreement, and sworn. So, what these verses told us that Jonathan, King Saul's son, he made a covenant with David. And it was sworn in the name of the Lord, and it was a covenant between Jonathan and David because they loved each other better than brothers, and it was a covenant between their descendants. Now, going next to a cross reference, we look at Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. And we see here that Jesus said that his death, his blood, was for the new covenant of salvation, forgiveness of their sins. So when Jesus came, he gave a new covenant, and that new covenant was a covenant for salvation and for forgiveness of sins. So let's look back now at Joshua again at chapter 9, verses 22 through 27, and see what was taking place, as I have already read. In these verses, Joshua confronted the Gibeonites, who were content to be Israel's slaves. So that's what we find is taking place. Now, we have a lot to cover, so we're going to continue with chapter 10 of Joshua. And the theme of that chapter, if you marked again your key words, you found the theme of chapter 10 is Joshua and Israel defeated five Amorite kings. And I'm going to read now verses 1 through 5. So follow along with your observation worksheet or your Bibles. Now it came about when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard that Joshua had captured Ai and utterly destroyed it, just as he had done to Jericho and its kings, so he had done to Ai and its king, and that the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were within their land, that he feared greatly, because of Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent word to Horam, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth, to Japhia, king of Laish, and to Debir, king of Eglon, saying, "Come up to me and help me, and let's attack Gibeon, for he has made peace with Joshua and with the sons of Israel." So the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Laish, the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they with all their armies, and camped by Gibeon and fought against it. So here we're seeing that as all of these kings that were mentioned, beginning with the king of Israel, had heard about Ai, Jericho, and Gibeon, the result was they had fear. They had great fear of what was next for them, that these Israelites were going to come in and attack them. So they sent for four other kings of the Amorites to help them attack Gibeon. And so they did this. They needed help. They were afraid of the Israelites that were coming upon them, because they had already heard of how they had attacked these other countries and taken them. They'd heard about Jericho and they'd heard about Ai. So, as you see, as we go through these verses in this study, it's all about Israel taking the land that God had promised them. So let's read further now in chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. Then the men of Gibeon sent word to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that live in the hill country have assembled against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the valiant warriors. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them." Now be careful to notice this, because this is what we see about God. This is what we want to see, that in all of our battles, this is what God tells us in His Word. The same thing He is saying here, He gives us that same word. So look at this, what He says. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them, for I have handed them over to you. Not one of them will stand against you." So, see, God has made the promise to Joshua. So Joshua came upon them suddenly by marching all night from Gilgal. And the Lord brought them into confusion before Israel, and He struck them down in a great defeat at Gibeon and pursued them by way of the ascent to Bethoron and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these right. And as they fled from Israel, while they were at the descent of Bethoron, the Lord hurled large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the sons of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on that day, when the Lord turned the Amorites over to the sons of Israel, and He said in the sight of Israel. Now listen to this. Again, you're seeing the mighty hand of God. And this is what He said. Joshua spoke, and he was speaking through the power of God. "Sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon at the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation avenged themselves of their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jashar? And the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and did not hurry to go down for a whole day. There was no day like that before or after it, when the Lord listened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Now, quickly, let's look. What is taking place? What is happening? The king of Gibeon sent to Joshua for Israel to come and save them. So Joshua went, and he went because the Lord assured him of the victory. And Israel left Gilgal to answer Gibeon's call for help. So because of the covenant made with Israel's leaders, they were obligated to fight Gibeon's enemies. So that also brought Israel against more Amorites. So this is a great illustration of how that the Lord fights for His people. What He did here was confound them. He threw the people into a panic, and He slew and struck them with great blows, and He chased them. He even threw hailstones on their enemies, and even caused the sun to stand still and the moon to stop on that day. So that day the Lord listened to the voice of a man, His chosen leader, Joshua, who was walking in God's commands and doing His will. So we see how that God, even today, as we listen to Him, as we keep His commandments, that He's going to help us fight our battles no matter what we face in life, if we will just heed His word, if we will listen to Him. He has all power. He is Almighty God. So now let's continue on in verses 15 through 27 of chapter 10. What has happened after the battle? Starting with verse 15, then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp at Gilgal. Now these five kings had fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makkedah. And it was told to Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and post men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves. Pursue your enemies and attack them from behind. And do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has handed them over to you. So here we see Joshua knows that God has already won the battle. He says, it came about when Joshua and the sons of Israel had finished striking them down in a very great defeat until they were destroyed and the survivors of them were escaped, had entered the fortified cities, that all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace, and no one uttered a word against any of the sons of Israel. And then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring these five kings out to me from the cave. And they did so and brought five kings out from the cave. And the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmut, the king of Laish, the king of Eglon. And when they brought these kings out to Joshua, Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the leaders of the men of war who had gone with him, come forward, put your feet on the necks of these kings. So they came forward and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, do not fear or be dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord will do this to all your enemies with whom you fight. What a statement here that Joshua is saying, if you will be strong and be courageous and trust in the Lord, then He's going to do the same thing to all your enemies that He has done here to these kings, all of these that you are going to fight against. Verse 26, so afterward Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees, and they were hung on the trees until the evening. And then it came about at sunset that Joshua gave the command, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden them, and put large stones over the mouth of the cave to this very day. So what do we see then that these verses 15 through 27 say? We see that Joshua and Israel have returned to Gilgal, and the five Amorite kings hid in the cave at Makkedah. So they had trapped them there in the cave. And so there, after they trapped them there, Israel's men pursued any that fled the battle, and they went back to the cave at Makkedah. And Israel's chiefs of war put their feet on the king's necks, which was a custom of showing victory. So Joshua commanded the men with the same commandments as the Lord said to him in chapter 1. They killed and hanged the five kings and buried them in the cave. So it's all about God and all about obeying His commandments for Him to be able to fight the battles. And we see that in these battles. Over 2,000 years ago, And we see this in our own battles. If we just open our spiritual eyes and put our trust in Him, He is going to fight all of our battles for us, no matter what battles that we face. We'll know that if we're obedient to God, that He will fight our battles. Now let's continue with verses 20. Let's see where we are. We went through 27. So now we're looking at 28 through 43. So we're going to look at what the rest of this chapter is about, starting with verse 28 of chapter 10. Now Joshua captured Makkedah that day and struck it and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. He left no survivor. So he did to the king of Makkedah just as he had done to the king of Jericho. And then Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Makkedah to Libnah and fought against Libnah. And the Lord also handed it over to Jerusalem with its king. And he struck and every person who was in it with the edge of the sword. He left no survivor in it. So he did to its king just as he had done to the king of Jericho. And Joshua and all Israel with him passed on from Libnah to Laish. And they camped by it and fought against it. And the Lord handed Laish over to Israel, and he captured it on the second day and struck it and every person who was in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Libnah. Then Horam, the king of Gezer, came to help Laish, and Joshua defeated him and his people until he had left him no survivor. And Joshua and all Israel with him passed from Laish to Eglon, and they camped by it and fought against it. Verse 35, they captured it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword, and he utterly destroyed on that day every person who was in it, according to all that he had done to Laish. And then Joshua and all Israel with him went up from Eglon to Hebron, and they fought against it, and they captured it, and struck it, and its king, and all its cities, and all the persons who were in it with the edge of the sword. He left no survivor, according to all that he had done to Eglon. He utterly destroyed it and every person who was in it. Then Joshua and all Israel with him returned to Debir, and they fought against it, and he captured it and its king and all its cities, and they struck them with the edge of the sword. They utterly destroyed every person who was in it. He left no survivor, just as he done to Hebron, so he did to Debir and its king. And the Negev and the lowland and the slopes and their kings, he left no survivor, but he utterly destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua struck them from Kadesh Barnea, even as far as Gaza, and all the country of Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. Joshua captured all these kings and their lands at one time, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. So Joshua and all Israel with him returned to the camp of Gilgal. So we're seeing here in these verses 28 through 43 that Joshua and Israel destroyed these different cities, Makkedah, Libnah, Laish, Horam, king of Gezer, Eglon, Hebron, Debir, the hill country, Negev, the lowland, the slopes, from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, Goshen to Gibeon. So if you will look at your map on conquering the land, you'll see that because of what God had told them, because of what they did by keeping His commandments, that the Lord fought for Israel. They conquered all in one campaign before returning to Gilgal. And we know that it would be impossible to fight all of these battles and take all of this land if it wasn't through the hand of God. So we have to know that God is almighty and that He keeps His word. See, we know that God had already promised Israel and promised Joshua that He was going to give the land to them. And it was through their faith, their belief. So as we fight our battles today, we must keep our faith. We must be strong. We must be courageous so that God will fight our battles. Now, we've still got chapters 11 and 12. So we'll get through these because we're seeing here more of them taking the land. So let's look at chapter 11 of Joshua, verses 1 through 15. And again, what did you find was the theme of chapter 11? And in marking your, highlighting your key words, you found that Joshua and Israel destroyed Hazor and northern kingdoms. The whole land was at rest. That was your theme for 11. Now let's quickly read chapter 11, 1 through 15. Then it came about when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard about it, that he sent word to Jobab, king of Madon, the king of Shimron, to the king of Ashup, and to the kings who were of the north in the hill country, and in Arabah, south of Shinaroth, and in the lowland, and on the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites on the east and the west, and the Hamorite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, in the hill country, and the Hivite, at the foot of Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And then they came out, and all the armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore, with very many horses and chariots. So all of these kings gathered together and came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Verse 6, yet the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I am going to turn all of them over to Israel as good as dead. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua and all the people of war with him came upon them suddenly at the waters of Merom and attacked them. And the Lord handed them over to Israel. So they defeated them and pursued them as far as Great Sidon at Mizrephah, Maah, and the valley of Mizpah in the east, and they struck them until no survivor was left to them. And Joshua said to them, verse 9, just as the Lord had told them, he hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. And then Joshua turned back at that time and captured Hazor and struck its king with the sword. For Hazor previously was the head of all these kingdoms. And they struck every person who was in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was no one left who breathed. And he burned Hazor with fire. And Joshua captured all the cities of these kings and all their kings. And he struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded. However, Israel did not burn any cities that stood on their mound, except Hazor alone, which Joshua burned. And all the spoils of the cities, the cattle, the sons of Israel, took as their plunder. But they struck every person with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. They left no one breathing, just as the Lord had commanded his servant Moses. So Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that God had commanded Moses. So now, looking at these verses, how did this chapter begin? It began telling us that Jabin, the king of Hazor, also heard of Israel's victories. So Hazor was formerly the head of the northern kingdoms. So you need to just keep that in mind. So Jabin gathered the northern kingdoms to battle against Israel at Merom. So again, we see that the Lord assures Joshua by telling him not to be afraid, that he would deliver them into his hand. And so he did so the very next day. And Joshua and his men utterly destroyed the cities and their people, and they left no survivors. And then they went to Hazor, Jabin's city, and they burned it. Now, the northern campaign in verses 1 through 15 is the, if you look on your map, is that the third arrow on the map in conquering the land. And verses 9, 15, 20, and 23 speak of Joshua doing as the Lord had told him to do, keeping the commandments, not turning to the right or to the left. So we see again, the victory comes only by keeping the commandments of the Lord, only by keeping His word. And that applies to us today in any battle that we face in life. If we are faithful and trust the Lord, and call out to Him to get us through our battles, He will not leave us, and He will get us through all of our battles. And He gets us through these battles on His time, not on our time. So now let's continue on in verses 16 through 20 and see what happens in these verses. Starting with 16. So Joshua took all that land, the hill country and all the Negev and all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the hill country of Israel and its lowland from Mount Halak that rises toward Seir, even as far as Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon at the foot of Mount Hermon. And he captured all their kings and struck them and put them to death. And Joshua waged war a long time with all these kings. There was not a city which made peace with the sons of Israel except the Hebites living in Gibeon. They took them all in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts to meet Israel in battle in order that He might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that He might destroy them just as the Lord had commanded Moses. So here we see that verse 20 mentions that Israel was carrying out God's commands again to bring judgment on these ungodly nations. And the phrase here of harden their hearts is really literally meaning make strong. it was the Lord who initiated these kings coming against Israel. They deserved no mercy because they were evil. Why were they evil? These people were people that did not believe upon the name of the Lord. They worshiped idols, and they did not believe the Lord God. And they were evil people. They did evil things. And so this is why that it was that Israel was justified in destroying them. Now, I'm not going to go through the cross-reference here, but if you want to write down, there's a cross-reference that you can go back here and just write it out beside verses 16 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 10 through 18, and Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 through 10. But let's finish reading these last verses, verses 21 through 23, and see how the chapter ends. Then Joshua came at that time and eliminated the Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, Debir, Anab, and from all the hill country of Judah and all the hill country of Israel. And Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. There was no Anakim left in the land of the sons of Israel. Only Gaza, of Gath and Ashdod, some remained. So Joshua took the whole land in accordance with everything that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their division by their tribes. So the land was at rest from war. So here we see that Joshua is at the end of the conquest section of the book. He took the land and he gave it for inheritance to Israel, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So therefore, the land was at rest from war. But it took a long time, didn't it, for it to get to that place of rest, because there was a lot of cities and lots of kings that they had to battle in order to get to the place that they were in. Now then, let's continue, and we will finish up this lesson by going to chapter 12. And I'm going to read these verses. I'm having to reset myself to finish up here. So just be patient with me a minute, and we'll read these verses. Now looking at chapter 12, we're going to read and see what this is about. What is the theme? That's what we want to see right now, is the theme of chapter 12. In underlining your keywords again, we see that the theme would be Joshua and Israel defeated, 31 kings in all. So let's look at these verses quickly, and then we'll see what is happening. Starting with verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land whom the sons of Israel defeated, and they took possession of their land beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise, from the valley of the Arnon as far as Mount Hermon, and all the Araba to the east, Sihon the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon and ruled from Arah, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, both the middle of the valley and half of Gilead, even as far as the brook Jebba, the border of the sons of Ammon, and the Arabah as far as the Sea of Shinaroth toward the east, and as far as the Sea of Arabah, that is, the Salt Sea, Dead Sea, eastward toward Beth Jeshimoth, and on the south at the foot of the slopes of Pisgah, and the territory of Og, king of Bashan, one of the remnant of Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled over Mount Hermon, Salakah, and all Bashan as far as the border of the Gezerites and the Maacathites, and half of Gilead as far as the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the sons of Israel defeated them, and Moses and the servant of the Lord gave it to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh as a possession. So, what are these verses saying to us here? It's all about the land and the kings that's east of the Jordan River. And we see that Sihon and Og were the first Amorite kings to be defeated by Israel. So their land was given to Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. So now we're seeing how that through the hand of God that they're able to receive the land that they had been promised. Let's finish up this chapter by reading verses 7 through 24. Now these are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the sons of Israel defeated beyond the Jordan toward the west, from Baal-gad to the valley of Lebanon, even as far as Mount Halak, which rises toward Seir. And Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions, in the hill country, in the lowland, in the Arabah, on the slopes of the wilderness, in the Negev, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, Perizzite, the Hivite, Jebusite, the king of Jericho, one of the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one the king of Jerusalem, one the king of Hebron, one the king of Jarmuth, one the king of Lash, one the king of Eglon, one the king of Gezer, one the king of Debir, one the king of Kedar, one the king of Hormah, one the king of Arad, one the king of Libna, one the king of Adullam, one the king of Machadah, one the king of Bethel, one the king of Tapuah, one the king of Hefer, one the king of Abhab, one the king of Lasharon, one the king of Madon, one the king of Hazor, one the king of Megiddo, one the king of Kedesh, one the king of Jokneam in Carmel, one the king of Dor in the heights of Dor, one the king of Guam in Gilgal, and one the king of Tirzah, one in all 31 kings. And I know I didn't pronounce all of those correct, so just bear with me because of my pronunciation of some of these kings and cities is not very accurate. But we'll finish this by looking at this, because we see here that the land and the kings are on the west side of the Jordan. And Joshua gave the land on the west of the Jordan as a possession to the rest of Israel. So here we see there were 31 Amorite kings destroyed by Israel, beginning with Jericho and Ai. And the places of the battles, as well as the borders of the lands, were described here in these verses. So the Lord has kept his promise to give the land to all the people. So the main thing that we want to see in our study, this is very historical, but it's true. It is. It was written by those that were inspired through the Holy Spirit. It was actual people that were living this. It was God's people. He had made a promise. And here you see the mighty hand of God in carrying out His promises. And what we want to take with us as we get through this study is the fact that God is almighty. He is superior. He is sovereign over all. He is the creator, and He controls it all. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent. And He is omnipresent. He knows all. He sees all. He hears all. He's in control of all. So I pray that through all of this study that we will just have a stronger faith to do what He said to Joshua, be strong. Be strong and take courage. So let us close now today with prayer. Father, we need You. And we know, Father, that You are in control of all things and that we can do nothing without You. And Father, we ask You to give us strength, make us strong, and give us courage, Father. Strengthen our faith, Father. May we just continue, Father, to take Your word into our very being, Father. That it becomes a part of us, that as we live out our lives every day, Father, that all that we come in contact with will see You, Father, to see Your great hand, the great God that You are. We give You all the praise and all the honor, Father, for what You have done, for what You are doing, and for what You're going to do. And we just ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.